everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This episode is the interview I did with comic creator Phil Hester at the Phoenix Comic Con this last weekend. We talked about his love for the Gold Key characters. He currently is writing the Gold Key title for Dynamite. We also talked about the explosion of comics and pop culture and what that means as far as creators being able to tell the stories they want to tell without interference from the higher ups, the executives at these companies. And we also talked about a few other things. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Once again, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source. I'm here with comic creator Phil Hester. How are you doing today, Phil?
Hey, Jace, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for joining me. So for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with their work, what are you currently working on? What do you have on the stands?
What I'm doing right now is I write a book called Gold Key Alliance for Dynamite, which is a revival of all the classic Gold Key characters like Turok and Magnus and Samson, and we throw them all together in a team book. I also write a book for Image called Mythic with artist John McCrae. And I just finished drawing a book for Image called Thrilling Adventure Hour Beyond Belief, which is based on the Thrilling Adventure Hour podcast. And I also just finished writing a Deathstroke Annual, number 2, and that'll be out in a few weeks.
Wow, sounds like you keep pretty busy.
Yeah, you have to. If you don't, you don't eat.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your work at Dynamite, Gold Key characters. Now, these are characters that have been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Since the early 60s in some cases.
Classic character, say Gold Key because it was Gold Key Comics.
Yes.
And Valiant had a lot of the properties back in the 90s.
Yes.
And then Dark Horse for a little while.
Yeah.
So, being that these characters have been around for so long, they've had different publishers, different ideas. What are you drawing from? Are you pulling from any of those previous ideas? Is it all totally original? Or are you trying to go back to the classic feel?
Well, legally, we can't pull from anything but those classic ones. We can't pull from anything that Valiant or Dark Horse did because those are different. Technically, those are different licenses on those characters. So we have to go back to basics. And that's fine with me because although I did enjoy those Valiant Dark Horse books because I'm a fan of the characters, I'm a fan of those original runs. I'm a fan especially of that original Russ Manning Magnus Robot
Fighter.
That's
classic stuff.
I mean, that stuff's great. And so, yeah, I'm also a fan of the outright nuttiness of those old Mighty Samson comics. And so it wasn't too hard for me to just go back to the basics and take what I thought was unique and special about each one of those characters and bring it to a modern audience by setting all of those characters in our current world and finding a way to, you know, finagle it so that it's possible for Turok to be hunting dinosaurs in 2016, and it's possible for Magnus to be fighting robots in 2016. And, you know, that was the challenge, and that's also been the fun part of it.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because those classic Gold Key comics, there wasn't crossover, so
no.
to speak.
I mean, they're centuries apart.
Right, yeah. Right. But now you're trying to tie everything together, and so that's been both challenging and fun for you to weave it all together?
I think that was something that's missing in with a lot of those Gold Key revivals, is you missed a chance to make a cohesive universe out of those characters. And that's something I think that modern comic book fans expect out of their superhero books, at least, is that they take place in kind of a cohesive universe. And when I pitched this series to Dynamite, I pitched it actually as a line-wide thing, like with multiple books. And they like the idea so much, they're like, yeah, let's do that, but let's put them all together in one book. So it's made juggling the traffic's a little bit more difficult, but it's cool that, like, if a reader's a fan of one of the characters, they'll pick the book up and maybe learn about the other ones.
How's the reception for the book been so far?
It's been really positive. The artist Brent Peoples, I've known Brent for a long time, and this is sort of like his coming out party, and he's really upped his game and really established himself as a really solid superhero artist that's got a bright future ahead of him. So yeah, all the everything we've heard has been really positive.
And is it planned on being an ongoing, like as long as the
sales? We've got a 5-issue series to tell our story, and that's sort of the way Dynamite operates. You know, 5 issues makes a trade there.
Okay.
And we're wrapping it up in a way that I think leaves the characters in a place where in the future you can build off of what we've done, but also it takes them back to their roots in a way that sort of resets them for those classic fans.
Do you have other stories?
I could write these characters for a long time. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
especially Samson. He's probably the nuttiest of all those characters, but he's the one I really kind of clicked with.
The classic Samson stories, they remind me of classic Legion of Superhero stories.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's that Silver Age goodness. It's just so corny and so quirky.
They're so corny and weird, but yeah, the weirdness wins out with me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about one of your more well-known books, Green Arrow.
Yeah.
That you worked on with Kevin Smith. Have you watched any of the Arrow's TV shows?
Are you a huge fan? I kind of have to, because every once in a while a character you created pops up on the show, and then you need to call DC about a residual check. I've watched them all, and they're really good. I mean, I have to admit to being a little bit more of a fan of the Flash show than Arrow, because I like that sort of positive spirit of the Flash show a little bit more. That fits more in keeping with my, sense of storytelling. And I was lucky to draw the Flash book based on the TV show last year. So I have more of a connection with that show, actually. I think all the DC shows have been really good. The Legends of Tomorrow and the Supergirl and all that stuff. It's really interesting to see how well DC handles all that.
Now, so you've been keeping up with all that?
No, I'm way behind on all of them, but I've seen them all.
But you've seen them all?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so don't spoil anything for me.
I won't. But that leads me to my next question. Mm-hmm. Kind of this explosion of comics and pop culture.
Yeah.
Right? Could you have imagined when you first started?
No. When I was a kid, I was excited that we got, some crappy Doctor Strange TV movie. Like, I was like, how?
Thor and Daredevil and Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, we had to clear our calendars for that. And now it's like, I'll get to Avengers 2 whenever, it's like an embarrassment of riches nowadays. And it's both cool and, I guess it's like have you ever been like the fan of a band that hadn't blown up yet?
Right.
And then they blow up and you're like, well, I was here first.
Right.
And I've got a little bit of that attitude. But also, what trumps that is the attitude that, now these characters are reaching more people.
Right.
Maybe they'll mean something to them the way they meant something to me when I was a kid. So that's cool.
Do you worry at all, having been in the industry for so long, that, like you said, I was here first, the bigger hands that guide these properties worry that, now it has to be a little more mainstream, and then it's eventually going to affect the stories you tell,
Oh, it does. It already does. I mean, there's a lot more top-down editorial content going on nowadays, and I understand why they do that. These are, billion-dollar characters in some cases. I mean, Batman is a billion-dollar character by himself. So I understand that those are corporate entities that need to stay on top of these things. But I also understand the things that make those characters special happen when you trust the creative aspect to take over and handle those things. And when you don't micromanage. I mean, all the stuff that's in Daredevil, like the Netflix show Daredevil, that's all stuff that happened because Marvel didn't give a crap about Daredevil.
Yeah, because the sales were
let Frank do whatever he wants.
Right.
And what he came up with was all the stuff that's the core of the character now. Same thing with X-Men. I mean, those new X-Men comics, they were like, who cares? Let Claremont and Cockrum do whatever they want. And now that's like a multi-billion-dollar movie franchise. They're those guys' ideas, built those. So I think in some ways Marvel and DC are missing out a little bit and not trusting their creative talent to at least create new characters and to take chances with their existing characters in a way that kind of establishes new canon. I mean, everyone's all hung up about what's continuity and what's not.
Right.
When in reality, the stuff that's good becomes canon.
Just tell good stories.
Yeah. And the stuff that's memorable is what becomes canon. And so just trust your creative people to do their thing a little bit more than they're doing right now.
Now, you've worked on some pretty big icons, some of these billion-dollar characters you're talking about. Do you still have some, because you're more on the independent side of things right now with Dynamite. Are there still stories that you have to tell, though, about, like, Spider-Man?
I mean, any writer or artist worth their salt has, you know, stories in their back pocket for every one of those characters. Yeah. At least I'm still that fan at heart, so... Yeah, I still daydream about how I'd write Fantastic Four. You know, I still daydream about how I'd draw, you know, Iron Man. You know, that never leaves you.
Wow. Well, Marvel doesn't even have a Fantastic Four book out.
I know,
coming
that's a
out
shame,
right now.
Isn't it? Yeah.
You on Fantastic Four to bring it back would be...
I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be fun.
Well, I've been asking all the creators I've been interviewing at Phoenix Comic Con kind of a broad question. Answer it as you will.
Okay.
With the way comics have invaded pop culture, we talked about, where do you see the future of comics going, both as an art form and an industry? Because I kind of feel like now that it's become, we're not hiding in our basements.
Yeah.
Hiding the fact that we read comics now that it's kind of out there. Where do you see it going now that we're kind of at this crossroads?
Well, I've been in it long enough to know that nobody knows where it's going. And, especially the people that tell you they know where it's going, they don't know. So it's more what I trust is my creativity. Like, this is how I navigate it. It's uncertainty. But I trust my creativity to take me where it needs to. So if that's into doing comics, if that's into working in animation, film, whatever... working with these characters or working with characters I've created, I trust my creativity to take me where I need to go. As far as fans go, we're entering this new territory where, like, somebody can be, like, you know, a huge Avengers fan and never read the comic books. So these characters are having this second life outside of comics. And that's great because that the money that comes in from those things can sort of keep comics alive and keep those ideas growing in comics. But also, I think comics, I mean... business have been trying to kill comics almost for like 75 years.
Right.
We've always sort of been this like neglected child, and we don't go away because it's an art form that is so, there's so few barriers between you and getting your vision out there that it's never going to die. So like, even if the comic shops all folded up tomorrow, there'd still be web comics, you know, there'd still be people making their mini comics and selling them at tables at shows. And that's what's most beautiful about comics to me, and I think that's why they're always going to be here. There'll still be people that think this is the best way to tell my story, and there's nothing stopping them from doing it. So comics, I don't worry about the future of comics.
Do you feel any added responsibility to kind of inform those fans that are maybe just have been brought in from the movies that don't necessarily...
No, I kind of like the fact that, like, it's only a small percentage. It's the people that, like, were really turned on by that movie that really need to know more about Green Arrow or whoever, and so they're going to hunt it, track down the comics. I like that. I like the fact that they're being rewarded by this whole rich universe that opens up once they get past the what the movies have shown them. Because as vast as those movie universes are, they're only scratching the surface on all these characters.
Right. And something else you said that made me, it reminded me of something Mark Silvestri always tells me. If he has an idea for a movie, that will take 2 or 3 years to get out.
Yeah.
If he has an idea for a TV show, maybe a year to put a season out. If he has an idea for a comic, within 2 months, it's there.
Yeah, it's there. That's what's great about
it. And that's something that, as you said, is unique to the comic creative process.
Yeah,
and I think it's what...
Oh, you can't beat it. And it's why there's so many people in it, because it's not for the riches.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody, I've said this myself, nobody gets into creating comics to become rich and famous.
Right. A few people are lucky enough to get rich, but for the most of us, it's just like a nice regular job. But the fun of it is we get to do all these things we really cared about since we were young.
Great. Well, if any of our listeners want to follow along with your work, know when something new is coming out, what's the best way to...
Probably on Twitter is the best way to follow me, and I'm just Phil Hester at Twitter.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your time, Phil.
Thanks, Jake.
Great talking to you.